Okay, you're all very welcome to episode 11 of The Unsafe Space. My name is Keith Redmond, I'm a former Fianna Gael councillor, and my beloved other half is...
Sarah Ryan, former Fianna Fáil councillor.
Just mumbled that well. And today we're going to talk about the European Union, we're going to talk about Ireland in the European Union, we're going to touch on Brexit, we're going to just talk about the European thing, the European project.
You love it.
And I love to hate it, and I love to talk about it and all that kind of stuff. It's a dark minority view at the moment that, you know, to even question Ireland's position in the European Union.
One of your many.
But yeah, I'm known for my alternative opinions, all right? Courageous opinions. Courageous.
Dark, you said it. Kind of phrase.
We're going to talk about where we are, where we should be going, where the European Union should be going. But I suppose it all starts from Brexit, this word that everybody is fed up of at this point. Even if you're pro-Brexit, anti-Brexit, whatever you are, we all just want the word Brexit to go away. Hopefully after they have their general election, one way or the other, this will be sorted out.
Probably not, to be fair.
Well, if the Tories win, I think, and they get a good majority, I think that'll be the end of it. It'll be done and gone. And it looks that way at the moment. But so as a result of Brexit and this, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have expected it to actually happen. I mean, right on the eve of the referendum, Farage himself came out and said, looks like we've lost this by a couple of points, and nobody really expected it to go through. And then it did. And then everybody was kind of going, oh my God, they're actually going to go. And that made everybody start to question themselves. Like, who would be next? You know, would Poland go? They're under huge pressure from the EU at the moment to bend. Hungary, will they go? They're under pressure to bend on their immigration. You know, will some other nation kind of pull out? Or, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's never been questioned, really, that Ireland would leave the European Union. It was, we've never really...
crazies talk about it yourself.
Well, this is the point. So we have this thing where there's a referendum done, a poll done by the European Movement Ireland, which, of course, is an EU organisation. And I'm sure that was a very fairly asked question. And they said...
Of doctors said more money for doctors.
Yeah, exactly. Shop. Yeah. Do you support Irexit, you know, which is the new word for Ireland leaving the European Union? And only 10% of people said they did. Now, I mean, if you said it to me today, do I support Ireland leaving the European Union? I would also say no. So it's, you know...
Well, you've changed your tune.
No. You see, this is the point. You know, it all depends on what context you're talking about.
No, context.
I mean, right now... No, I wouldn't leave the European Union. The European Union is fine for now. It has enough shackles on it to prevent it going too far. Have we had to sacrifice a lot to be in the European Union? Yes, of course. We had to sacrifice our currency. We had to sacrifice our central bank. So we no longer set our interest rates. We have no monetary policy. We can't print. Well, this is the point. So we're going to talk about that. We can't print money in the crash.
It meant that
we couldn't do an external devaluation of our currency to, you know, get back in line. We had to do the more painful internal devaluation where we cut everybody's wages and prices went through the roof.
That's all terrible. Yeah. Personally speaking, I'm pretty sure it's because of the EU that I now have to have a cavity search if I want my Salpidine. So that's annoying.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the European Union are also pushing a lot of other legislation down the line. I mean, most of our legislation now comes from the EU. We rubber stamp it here. We don't have, our parliament doesn't have the right to countermand mandates and directives given by the European Commission that's then sanctioned by the European Parliament.
Would you want to stay?
So let me just talk about, first of all, for people listening who are going to go, oh my God, I'm already turning off this bloody podcast.
I know.
Wait. We're going to briefly discuss what is the European Union, because we don't really get to understand it, right?
God.
At the moment, there are 28 countries in the European Union. When the UK leaves, it'll be 27. The European Union has got three major institutions. One is the European Council, which is basically all the heads of governments of the 28 countries. So Leo is in there as our representative in the European Council. So that's where they all get together and they have meetings and discuss stuff. The European Commission then is kind of like the civil service, the bureaucracy of the European Union. It has a nominal president at the moment. It's Juncker. There's a German lady, Vestager, who's going to be coming and taking over very soon. But he's not elected. She's not elected. They don't get elected. And that's the big thing about the European Commission. Nobody's elected. All the commissioners, they're not elected. They're rubber stamped by the European Parliament. So they're appointed rather than being elected. But they always claim to be presidents and all this kind of stuff. It's all nonsense. The European Parliament then is the third organ. They are elected. They're all elected by you. And I'm sure you run out and when the European elections are on and you elect them all faithfully.
Sorry, steady on now. My dad was an MEP.
Yeah, I know. I'm laying into him.
And so he's listening.
So
he buys you a lot of wine.
Sarah's dad Owen was an MEP. And But like all the MEPs, they're all elected, in fairness to them. They are elected. But they have a very limited power. It's the only parliament in the Western world that can't institute a law and can't repeal a law. They can only amend laws that are given, amend suggestions for laws that are given to them by the commission. So the commission comes up with the policy and they just get to rubber stamp it. So there's a what's called a democratic deficit, and that's polite for the European Union, definitely, right? So that's kind of where I am in the European Union. I'm a bit kind of, right? Now, where we are today, I'm not really too worried about the European Union. I think, as I said, it has enough shackles on it to maintain, you know, relative strength for individual member states. But it's this so-called European project, the mission, where they want to go. And so Macron and France, President of France and Merkel, they've laid out this vision for where they want the European Union to go. They wanted to have an army, a European Union army. So they wanted to have tax powers. So it's the one competency that's retained by individual states at the moment, individual countries, sorry, I'm falling into their narrative, their words, not states, countries. Individual countries still control their own taxation, but they want that gone. They want veto over taxation removed. Now, obviously, that's a major risk for Ireland with our corporation tax, because the European Union hates our corporation tax. But at the moment, they can't touch it. But they want to move to, instead of a veto for Ireland or any other country over taxation, they want to move to what they call qualified majority voting, which is basically you can be outvoted on your own taxation. So that's where the European wants to go. It wants an army, it wants tax powers, it wants to become a United States of Europe. And that's not a conspiracy theory. They're actually telling us that out front now. That's the project. That's the moment when I think you have a conversation in Ireland about whether you want to be in that. And that's where I would start to go, well, I think we need to go. That is an alternative. You don't have to Irexit. You don't have to Brexit from the whole thing.
Okay, but sorry, can I just cut you off there for a second? Because I feel like you're sanitizing your views a little bit, because were you not in favor of... But were you not in favor of Brexit?
Oh, I am, yeah.
So, and originally, do you think it's worked out well?
We don't know how it's worked out. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
So far, my view, so good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my view was that, and it was the view at the time, was that Brexit meant dropping into EFTA, the European Free Trade Association, which was effectively what everybody voted for in 1970. But it was what everybody was discussing at the time. And it's what I would advocate for Ireland, which is you drop into EFTA, which is the European Free Trade Association, which means you get all the benefits of the trade in the European Union. You get all the benefits of their trade policy and their trade agreements with the rest of the world. You don't have, for example, the common fisheries policy. We don't own our waters again. You don't have, I wouldn't drop out of the euro, because I think at this stage we're so far into it now, you know, it helps us at this point. We're through all the pain and it's actually helpful now.
But do you not think that you're a little bit like, you just want this kind of weird a la carte approach where you can take the things you like and not the things you don't like?
Absolutely. And it's called EFTA. It's not me making it up. It's already been made up. So you have Iceland, Norway, Liechtenstein. They're in the European Free Trade Association. They get all the benefits of trading with the European Union, all the benefits of the business in the European Union, but they don't have any of the political project. They don't have any of the sacrifice of sovereignty.
So why does that not just happen then?
Why does that what?
Why is Brexit so complicated then? Why don't they just do that?
Well, you see, this is where the British had their own version of it. They didn't want to be in the single market. They don't want to have the trade agreements. They want to forge their own. And this is where I depart from the Brexiteers. I was not in favour of that version of Brexit. I'm in favour of the EFTA version.
And so you would agree that there's a menu and that different people are taking different things?
Definitely. And I think that it could very well work out for them, because they have the fifth biggest economy in the world. It wouldn't work out for us. I mean, if they've got the fifth biggest economy in the world, they could very easily, I think, make a massive success of this. And I think we won't know where this is going to go for 10, 15 years. And that's true. But it wouldn't work for Ireland. Ireland's too small, too much of an open economy. We require too much, you know, we need to export to survive. And so I think our version, if we were going to leave the European Union, it would be to leave the political project, to leave the army project and drop into EFTA.
But would you not agree that, like, it's so far, it's looking like a hot steaming pile of something, the whole Brexit thing, and it's been going on for 2 years and it's a complete mess.
It's not a mess. The only mess
it's
is
it's not
the fact
a mess, Keith.
It's only a mess because in
it, so
because
it is politics, a mess.
It's only a mess politically in the House of Commons. Brexit is not a mess because you don't know what's going to happen.
But
nobody
voting,
knows what's
going to
happen.
Okay, but so that's the mess I'm talking about. Do you not think that if there was ever any group of people within Ireland who were in favour of leaving Europe, that Brexit has put an end to that idea?
I think
that watching it unfold and the mess that it is.
I think that version.
Like,
I think
saying,
that version.
Saying
of Brexit,
it's
yes.
not a mess because someday it might be sorted out. You know, it's
but
a bit
why
like,
is it a mess?
You're like saying to somebody
okay,
who's
tell me
drowning, "This isn't a problem because you might survive."
Okay, this is. I hear this thing all the time: Brexit shambles, Brexit mess. You tell me why it's a mess. What's happened? What's
the
mess?
Nothing's happened for
Correct.
2 years.
So it's
basically.
Not a mess.
So sorry. Mansplaining again.
Feminazi.
I love the way mansplaining is now just a way that women use.
Shut up, man.
Used to just like just dominate the conversation. It's wonderful. I saw a thing on the news the other day and they were talking about Brexit. And this woman just kept saying, "You're mansplaining, you're mansplaining." And he wasn't allowed to talk for the whole thing, basically. Yeah. And it was great. Like, it was gas.
You woman-splained to me there.
No, but it was the if it was the other way around, he'd be a can misogynistic you pig who wouldn't let the woman talk. But she just was like, "You're mansplaining." And like, he wasn't allowed. And every time she was like, "If you're going to keep mansplaining, I'm going to complain." I was like, "Are you mental?" Like,
yes,
obnoxious,
she is.
Obnoxious cow. Like, just... Anyway, license to be rude.
Stop distracting. Tell me why it's a mess. Why is Brexit a mess?
Okay. For the last 2 years, nothing has happened in the UK politically except for Brexit.
Because it's paralysing Parliament. Problem. Yeah.
So that's a mess, Keith.
Well, it's a parliamentary mess. Brexit's not a mess. The Parliament's
Brexit
a mess.
Doesn't happen. Okay. Sorry, teacher. Let's choose my words better. Oh, the process of Brexit. Does that suit better?
The political process in the Parliament, yes.
Oh my God.
But Brexit is not a mess.
Okay. And you don't think that that Brexit and the vote for to leave the EU has caused divisions, social divisions between people, like potential, a lot of disenfranchisement in the UK?
All independence movements do.
Okay. Again, let's get back to it. So you don't think that there's a problem? You're not allowing anybody. You're saying you have a problem with people saying Brexit shambles, Brexit mess, anything like that. You don't think there's an issue? Everything's
the only
great.
Issue is they haven't been able to do it yet.
But that is that's the problem.
Like, Yeah. Oh no, I agree with that. I just don't think Brexit itself is going to be a mess. I think Brexit itself is going to be.
You can just imagine what my life is like there.
No, hold on, now. Like, you're very careful here.
Be very careful of what?
You
refused in the beginning to acknowledge that there was anything wrong with Brexit. And now you're like,
typical of a woman.
it's complete, loads of problems, yeah. But it's very important that we say the parliamentary
mess. Political mess,
but
absolutely.
I just said people like people on the protesters, out in the street, whatever. Social unrest.
It always is in an independence movement. Okay. There was in Ireland too.
So a minute ago, just 10 seconds ago, and like, I'm really glad that you're doing one of your nonsense wriggling eels like on record that people can stop, rewind and listen. You just said it was only a parliamentary thing. Now you're saying social unrest.
But social unrest, what do you mean social unrest? I mean, the social unrest at the moment, if you talk about the water charges in Ireland, I mean, the social unrest is fine.
Yeah, I don't think water charges are going well either.
I have no issue with social unrest. I mean, a political unrest.
No one's asking you to like it. Yeah. You've just been denying it exists. I'm saying Brexit, since the vote to today, hasn't been ideal. Agree or disagree without your eel wriggling, please.
Agree, because the Parliament won't let it happen.
Okay, agreed. Thank you. So
the point
took
is that
just about 15 minutes.
Will that dissuade Irish people for voting for iRexit?
Do you think that iRexit has taken a knock watching the shit show going unfolding?
In the current circumstances, in the current context, 100%. Even I wouldn't vote for it now. The point I'm trying to get across to you is things are going to change in the EU.
Did you just say you've actually changed your mind on something?
No, I wouldn't vote for it. I would only vote for EFTA. The point is that when the EU moves when it's moving forward with its project, this conversation is going to come back. And the wonderful thing about our system is that we have a constitutional right to a referendum every time they change these treaties. And they hate it. Because as you well know, folks, we've rejected these treaties several times. We've then gone back after a bit of bribery and we've acquiesced. But previously, we have rejected these guys. So the notion that Irish people wouldn't vote against the European Union or wouldn't vote to have it drop down into EFTA or wouldn't vote against a political project is a myth, because we've done it before. So I think it is eminently possible
to
win a referendum
on specific treaties.
Exactly. And I think if you give them if you give the Irish electorate a choice, if you vote for this treaty, you are going to get a European army and you're going to get taxation policy decided in Brussels, which is the plan, not a conspiracy theory. That's the plan.
Okay, we're not going to even go there.
So if the Irish electorate was given that choice, you got this, the next stage of the project, or you can't continue as you are, folks. You have to drop into EFTA, which is the business bit of it, the trade, blah, blah. Irish people would choose that.
Oh my God.
I'm convinced they would choose that.
Oh my God. I don't think you're right.
You think we go into a European army?
I think this European army thing gets rolled out all the time as if like, but like, as if that next week there's just going to be two like rangers banging on people's doors, taking their over 18-year-old sons into conscripting into this army that's going to march off into the sunset. Like,
There's mandatory military service all across Europe.
But you're deliberately saying that, like, the buzzwords, it's been the same in the past, like minimum wage 172 or whatever was on posters. Like, you're just deliberately using scare tactics.
What's a scare tactics? Like, Kiva Hofstad has said
okay,
that.
Okay, but, you know, do you think there's actually going to be a referendum run where they say, here's your choice, the army and a wonderful trade agreement that everything, you get everything and you don't have to sacrifice anything. Like, all political arrangements, like all
Europe for jobs,
all
yeah.
unions, all unions. You think you're not, you're saying Europe doesn't provide jobs to Ireland?
Oh, it provides jobs to anybody who wants to support Europe, yeah.
Okay. All unions are about give and take. Like, we get a lot. You're saying that, like, on the yes side, you get the army. On the no side, you get a wonderful trade agreement where you get to do whatever you want without having to give anything back. Like, Ireland gets lots of things from the EU that are positive.
Give me an example.
Roads.
Well, first of all, they gave us loads of money to build roads, right? And I remember Albert Reynolds arriving back with a big check, waving a check for 8 million quid or something.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you know, we got money for roads, and, like, you know, it's fantastic. They've calculated that the EU, in fairness to them, have given Ireland the equivalent in today's money of 45 billion euro in EU grants, right? Which is an incredible amount of money.
And the roads.
And then in one fell swoop, we get them back to 60 billion to bail out their banking system. So we okay, pay, and then we're now a net contributor as well.
But you
so we
can get
pay
to
more
Belfast
again.
In an hour and 15 minutes.
blew the boom.
No, you're like, they build the roads, in all okay. seriousness, I'm just being facetious
what
with the road
the
thing, but there's lots of positives that come with the EU membership. There is.
Yeah, there
and
is.
Like,
no.
And pretending,
and that's why you weigh it
and pretending that there isn't is just nonsense.
I don't pretend that at all.
We're not really going to get into a conversation about me, like, about going through the nitty gritty of all of the different things. In the, like, that's nonsense. The fact of the matter is, it's not perfect. Yes, there are things that could be changed. There's more democracy that could be brought into the EU. There are things that could be done better. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the problem with the referendums and the reason why people have voted for them and the reason why people are voted for Brexit is, to a large extent, the EU has become quite arrogant, not selling itself and thinking that it was above reproach, basically, when it came to voters. And that's not ended very
and then,
well.
And now they want more power and less voters.
But I'm saying that it doesn't mean that the project should be scrapped.
But I think the project should be paused where it is now. I don't think it needs to go on further, because their version of going on further is more integration and less sovereignty. That is the plan. I mean, you can't deny that.
Okay, well, I don't. I'm not even, whatever. I hate arguing with you about the EU because you're just a militant dickhead.
I want that bleeped out, Gary. I don't want to be caught, accused of being a dickhead on a podcast. Like,
no,
that's,
you just said it again, so now it has to be bleeped out twice.
What, dickhead? Oh, no. I've done it again. It's three.
Anyway, I just think that you skim over the fact that you are very much in favour of the EU leaving. You're in favour of Brexit.
Yeah.
And you were very much a Eurosceptic when it came to Ireland. And you've softened your cough a little bit since you've noticed the mess that's happened in the EU.
No, I think that's a misrepresentation of what's happened. I never advocated for Brexit in dropping out of everything.
You went and spoke at a number of debates that couldn't get anybody else.
Yeah, but I think there was a...
You're like the madman in UCD who goes to lectures.
All I said was that Britain will leave the European Union, which nobody believed at the time. And I said that they should leave the European Union because democratic deficit, XYZ.
You're in favour of Brexit. And you're like, all I said was that I went to things and I said Britain should leave the UK or the EU. Yeah.
Agreed. I'm still in favour of it. So, like, what I'm trying to get across to you is EFTA was my version of Brexit. I think that it's madness to leave the single market. It's madness to leave the trade agreements they already have.
But like
that's what I think. I've always thought
this is what you do, like the eel thing again. Like, that's like me saying, like, you know, here's what's on offer.
Yeah.
Dinner or no dinner. And you go, well, actually what I'd like is a lotus leaf floating in a glass of John Lennon's sweat.
Well, I'm making, like, this up. EFTA exists.
No,
I made it up.
No, but it wasn't on offer. You pick things. You have this, like, there was dinner or no dinner, and you want a glass of John Lennon's sweat with Yoko Ono's tears on the top.
Like, I feel like I'm being bullied.
You deserve it, though.
I'm being bullied.
You deserve it. Like,
somebody call somebody.
Like, it's just like when you're, like, you have to make, when you're an adult, you have to make hard decisions, and the voters have to make a decision between one thing or another. Mm. And then you're trying to, like, sneak in with this other option, being like, well, this is a great idea, whatever. That wasn't on the table. Brexit or no.
Yeah.
Leave or remain.
And they are leaving.
The clues are in the name of the of things. But like, so you
but
are
EFTA is leaving the EU.
But you were at the time advocating for just Brexit when you went to these things.
No, I was also advocating for EFTA.
Oh my God. Okay. Also advocating for a cocktail which is
leaving the EU. I mean, the EU is the political project. The EU was not what they went into in 1973, 4, 5. The EU, the common market they went into. Then they joined the EEC, the European Economic Community. The whole thing was about a market, a common market. That's what Thatcher voted for. That's what Thatcher wanted. So then it transformed. You talk about eels. It transformed. It flicked into this political project. And now it's flicking into a military project. And so the constant evolution of the European Union is, I think that we will reach a point where we're going to have a conversation, thankfully, because we have a referendum here. We're going to have a conversation about where Ireland goes.
Well, we can have a conversation, but be honest about what the choice is. This is what I have an issue with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Keith, I'd like you to move out of our house. Stay or leave. And then I come down the next morning and you're living in the hall.
Look, I think I would be putting up on the posters, you know, trade, not armies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine.
And I will be putting on the posters, if you want to find this madman living in your hall for 3 years, arguing and shouting and roaring about how he wants to leave, but he's still here, then vote for this.
This podcast is going to be much harder for you to meet my campaign manager when I run for president. It's going to be used against me.
I hope so.
Okay, well, folks, look, that was our take on the European Union and Brexit and Ireland and the potential
for... The ramblings of a madman. I've seen more coherent things written on walls of cells and shit.
Is this considered cyberbullying because it's on the online? Anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening. Give us contact us on Twitter, or you can also get us on #unsafespace on Twitter as well. Let us know what you thought of today, but also if you have any topics for future podcasts, let us know. We'll be hopefully bringing in some guests soon, so that's all very exciting. We're in conversations with people to bring in guests, so if you know of anybody that you think we should even bring in as a guest, do let us know.
Preferably somebody who's good at like wrestling with this eel-like creature.
I need a woman to come in here so I don't feel as though I have to, you know, mansplain. I can just let this woman explain to you why you're wrong. You know, how about that? You won't be to shut her down. How about that?
Don't worry, I will.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that was episode 11 of the Unsafe Space, and we'll see you next week.